Thank you, everyone. I'm glad to hear to share my project about the dark matter annihilations in the 21st century signal as cosmic dark. So we have similar talks before about the dark matter annihilations. So we just jump to the question I want to discuss in this talk. About the first thing is how about the dark matter annihilations influence the early formations of the structures and star formations, and how these effects affects influence in the 21st century signal. And finally, how these effects interact with other effects like the molecular coolings or the streaming velocities or other local effects. So let's jump to the, this is the scenario we're thinking about the dark matter annihilations, where the standard model particles come from the dark matter annihilations, will interact and exchange the energy with the bions or the photons in the gas environment, and it will finally deposit the energy into the gas by the heating, ionization, or other process. So let's come from the calculations of the average dark matter annihilations in the universe here. We can see in this formula, the first terms just describe the cross-section of the dark matter annihilations, which is constrained by your dark matter models. Second terms is just the average density in the universe of the dark matter. And the third terms, the FC, is the deposit fractions, tell you how many energy has deposited into the gas as fraction of the total injected dark matter annihilations. And the last term, the B, is just the burst factor, which is contributed from the structure halos in the universe. So it will go to the dark, it will deposit energy into the gas. And the first thing we want to consider is the thermal history because of the dark matter annihilations. So we calculate the thermal history by two sets of the simulations. The first, for the early universe, we use in the cosmorec. So we run the cosmorec. This is the recombination code we run from the sensor recombination time and until the lower redshift, and we switch to the 21 centimeter first at redshift 35 to consider the cosmic dawn and the reionization time gas temperature in these times. And you can see that for different dark matter models, the gas temperature has been boosted to different thermal history that varies with your the mass of your dark matter models. And what can we get from this thermal history? The first thing we think is just the Jeans mass, which tells you when this is the curve of the Jeans mass, which tell you when is the gas dark matter gravity overcomes the gas pressure of the gas, so the gas can collapse into the dark matter halos. So if we inject the dark matter annihilations, for example, for our annihilation from our 9 MeV dark matter particles, it will boost the Jeans mass history a little bit to this value. And for different dark matter model, you will have the different Jeans mass. And you can also find the filter mass, which is the time average Jeans mass. And you can find a slight change, especially at a lower redshift. So this Jeans mass can tell us something about, for example, the gas fraction within the halos. So on the left panel, you can see this is a gas fraction as a fraction to the default case. We are assuming there is no dark matter annihilations. And for certain halo models, you will find a suppression from like the 20% to 30% reductions in the gas fraction, especially at lower redshift, which the annihilation effect is strong. But this is for the 10 to 5,000 mass halos. For the large, for the massive halos, this reduction, it becomes small, and the annihilation effect is less important. And which is overviewed on the right panel, which shows only small halos, like the halo mass less than 10 to 6 or 10 to 7 halo mass, that gas fraction has been suppressed a little bit on this panel. Okay, And the next thing we want to think about is called the molecular coolings. So the molecular cooling, we have mentioned that in the previous talks, that we calculate the molecular coolings by two assumptions. The first, we assume that molecular coolings is only, the molecular hydrogen is only produced in, by the H-anhydrogen mechanism, which can greatly reduce and simplify our calculations with only a few chemistry reactions. And second assumption, we assume that the requirement for the H2 coolings is set in by the cooling times. So it will give you these two curves, which the production lines and the requirement lines as a function of the overall temperature of the helios. And the cross point will tell you something about which point that the molecular cooling is satisfied, and we can have some star formations following that. So, okay, good. So this is our models. We try to inject the annihilations into the molecular hydrogen chemistry. We assume that the ionization and the heating from the annihilation could change the gas properties from this in the gas environment. And those gas properties will change the H2 chemistry we calculated, and this will lead into different H2 productions and all the cooling rate. And there we just show out the result here. And firstly, if you just injected the dark matter annihilation from 130 MeV dark matter particles at redshift 30, you will find if you just including the heating effects, it will suppress the production of the H2 slightly. But if you including all the effects by including the ionizations, it actually increases that a little bit, depends on your dark matter models. And you can find a similar things in the for the requirements, that if you have the dark matter annihilation, it will also shape the cooling rate a little bit. So this makes it, So this just shifts the critical point of the molecular cooling a little bit left to the lower virial temperature of the helios. And the next thing we want to discuss is called the streaming velocities. I will not go too very detail about this. This is coming from the relative, it is just a relative velocity between the dark matter and bonds, which is caused by the VLO effects and make some suppressions on the small scale structure formations. And we found the first thing, it can suppress average background dark matter annihilations a little bit because it suppresses the mean halo numbers. And the second thing, we find it will reduce the first star formations by increasing the molecular cooling mass, which also, they all interact with our, dark matter annihilation models. And finally, we can go into the 21 seismic signal at cosmic dawn. So we see that 21 seismic signal can be described as a spin temperature with the temperature can be altered by the dark matter annihilations directly and also the star formation. For the star formation, we're using the Clebs fraction in this side. The Clebs fraction is just the star forming bonds as a fraction of the total bonds in the universe, and which is modified by the molecular coolings, bond collapse, streaming velocity of these factors. And we put this into the simulations, which cause the 21 centimeter wave force by Julia. This is good for, we can include the molecular cooling halos in the 21 centimeter signal simulations. And with the dark matter annihilation heating effects, you can find something like the signal have some changes compared to the no dark matter annihilation case. And if you just include all the effects like adjust for the molecular coolings and streaming velocity, you can see that there is a obvious velocity offset because of the streaming velocity. And you can see that dark matter annihilation also has some modifications, but it is slightly bit, it is can limited by the observation uncertainty something. And the last point, I want to quickly introduce something about the local effects. What I mean the local Hill effects is I mean the gas within an isolated halo in the early universe, is under the dark matter annihilation from both of the background and the dark matter within the halos. And this local annihilation could be strong and make some difference, although most of the annihilation power has been escaped from the local environment. But some energy deposited in the halos can still make some difference for the structure formations in those small halos. So here we compare the local annihilations with the global background annihilations. And you can see here we define the different intensity of the local halos. We are using the epsilon. Epsilon is just the value, okay, great. A pickup from the previous simulation. So this is not true values in the real world, but we just use it to give a good hint to describe the intensity of the local annihilation, and we see how it changes the gas properties within the halo. And you can find that the local halo effects, which have some suppressions, suppress on the bind clips or on the cooling chemistry, which shift a little bit, even based on the background dark matter annihilations. Okay, great. I will leave the summary here, and thank you for attention.
If I understand correctly, both, I think for the first time, as far as I've seen, both the thermal idea of properties and the chips of the halo, totally right. So is that what the stronger the dash lines were in your plots?
Oh, you mean the local one or the global?
If you go back before to the global system,
okay.
Not that much. Like when you show the next one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is the solid dash?
The dashed line is just you include both of the molecular coolings and streaming velocities. And the solid line is just coming from the previous result. So, yes. So this is a modifications for other process.
Should I think of the dashed line as what I should be looking for? Maybe someone gave me the similar topology, should I compare with the dashed or something?
Oh, you should compare the dash because it includes all the effects. I mean, we just introduced in this work. Yeah. Oh well, I don't know. That depends on observations, but I afraid you can see that modifications not very big. So yeah, I don't know if that can be confirmed by the observation or some.
This is a fairly high annihilation rate or cross section as well.
Right? Oh yes.
We're assuming hedges is not correct.
Yeah.
Or it's a very strong constraint.
All right. Let's break for. Let's thank Lishana again.
Thank you.